Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that God is your oasis this morning? Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of God today? How many of you enjoyed service here last night? Praise the Lord. Brother Carlos, you blessed our heart last night, buddy. We certainly appreciate the word of the Lord. Did you enjoy our brother last night? Amen. Brother Jewel Forney's going to be bringing us the word of the Lord this morning. And well, we had a great time here last night. And I believe we're going to have a wonderful service here today also. To you, did you come expecting this morning? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now give him a big hand clap of praise if you love him this morning. Amen. If you'll just remain standing, we got just a few prayer requests this morning. Sister Louise McKinney says, my cousin had a heart transplant several months ago. Now her kidneys are failing. Please remember her in prayer. So we certainly want to remember that prayer request this morning. I want to pray for Brother Phil Goulds. He has a virus of food poisoning. Been sick since Thursday. So we certainly want to pray for Brother Phil. Brother Junior Davis came through his surgery this morning. He's in recovery. So we just thank the Lord that he came through his surgery all right. So just continue to remember him and that family in prayer. Also, many of you probably remember Ed Burkett that used to attend this assembly. He passed away unexpectedly at his home, I believe on maybe Thursday or Friday. And we certainly want to pray for his family, his children, and his grandchildren, that the Lord would just comfort their hearts during this time. Brother Stuart Green says, my aunt is having surgery for a brain tumor on Tuesday morning. Please pray for her healing with us. God bless you as we pray for that request this morning. Brother Pat Madley says, please pray for my nephew Bradley Calhoun. He is 20 years old and autistic. They recently found colon cancer. Pray for a miracle. So we certainly want to pray for that need today. The Lord would be mindful. Sister Brenda Jones has an unspoken prayer request. We'll just commit that to the Lord this morning. And then someone turned in a prayer request, for a revival. And we just thank God that the bride's having a great revival right now. And let's just pray that the Lord would continue to may we always be revived. May we always be enthused about what the Lord has done for us. Are you glad to be part of it this morning? Somebody say praise the Lord. Shake hands with somebody around you. Greet him in the name of the Lord. Let's sing that chorus one more time. God is our oasis. Brother Harry, let's sing it again if you will. Yes, God is your oasis in dry places. Brother Bert, would you come this morning? Lead us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these prayer requests. You have an unspoken need this morning you'd like for this group to pray about. We just commit it all unto the Lord. Brother Bert, God bless you this morning, buddy. Appreciate you.
Excuse me. He never drops a one. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, that you are such an oasis, Lord, in this hour. Lord, we look around, and if we were just to go by sight, Father, we would tremble and have nowhere to stand. But, Father, you've given us a place. We're in the cleft of the rock, under the shadow of your wings, in the light of your word, Lord, our strength, our deliverer. Oh, God, for every need right now, Lord, we just bring it to your presence now, Lord. We know that you're already mindful of them, but we just acknowledge that your presence is welcome And we just come into your presence boldly with looking for grace and mercy and all these things that were provided before the foundation of the world. May they be released even now, Lord, as we speak. May they be released. May your strength be released into each of these situations and bring forth your word, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you as we bear these on our heart before you. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you. Appreciate you. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering. If you're a visitor here this morning, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. Glad to have you. All those that are streaming this service today, we pray that it would be a blessing to those folks as well. There's an announcement we need to make for you this morning. Brother Joseph Edward, the brother from Miami that played during our special meetings over July the 4th, they have his CD available over in the library. They've been out of them and they got some more in. So if you'd like to have one of those, I'm certain it'd be a blessing to you. Also, there was several items that was collected at the pavilion. They have those available for you to pick up over in the fellowship hall. They're on a table over there, so get those. If you have anything over there, please pick it up. They will be discarded in the next few days, so remember that. Are you glad to be in church today? Somebody say praise the Lord. We had a request to sing this song. Let's sing it with all of our heart. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. Find it on the screen back there as fast as you can, brothers. Please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. All I have is you. I'm at your mercy.
I've let you down. I dread the pain that waits for me tomorrow. When the sun reveals my broken dreams scattered on the ground. Yeah. to make it through. All I have is you at your mercy. Lord, I'll serve you until my dying day. Help others find a way at your mercy.
Praise the Lord. We're going to have some specials this morning. I'm going to let you be seated. Have a couple of specials. Brother Joel Brown is going to come give us a song this morning. Then Sister Caroline, Brother John, they have a song for us this morning. So glad to have those folks with us down from Sheryl's Ford, North Carolina. Let's enjoy our singers as they sing. Give them a nice hand this morning as they sing for you.
Looking, someone requested I sing this. They're coming, they're on their way. I talked to the brother this morning, and they're coming from Canada and from the UK, so I'll sing it for the home folk too, and you all just enter in with me in worship. The trials of this world, we're getting closer. The pull I felt was more than I could bear. And I was on the verge of giving over. The strength within myself just wasn't there, but something keeps holding me every day. I see He's helping me faithfully to overcome each and every trial, guiding me constantly, giving me victory. It's a reality. Something keeps holding me. Now Satan lay before me his temptation. It was his desire to steal away my faith.
That's just him, isn't it?
But I have found in time a revelation in the Word of God. It was just what I needed to keep me in this race. Something keeps holding me every day. I see helping me faithfully to overcome each and every trial, guiding me constantly. He's giving me victory. Yeah, it's a reality. Something keeps holding me. Satan lay before me his great
temptation to go back out into the world. It was his desire to steal away my faith, my joy, my hope. But I have found, if I just wait a little while, I'll receive a revelation. It will be the Master's favor to keep me in His grace. Jesus keeps holding me every day. I see He's helping me faithfully to overcome my trials, guiding me constantly, keeps giving me victory. He's my reality, for Jesus is holding me. My everything, 'cause Jesus is holding me.
God bless you, Brother Joel. Brother Joel Brown and Sister Tamika are two of my favorite singers of all time. I want them to do a duet. I'm glad to have my sister Caroline here from Cheryl's Ford. And I tell you what, I just want to give a quick testimony. Brother Fred was here the other day, and he was preaching. At the end, he said, God can heal you of what your problem is. And he called out blood pressure right away. And I have been struggling with blood pressure for the past 6 months. Terrible headaches, just pounding in my skull and all over my body. And I've been trying to get that down. And right there, I didn't even come to the front. I said, Lord, I just released this. And my blood pressure dropped. I felt it. And I have, ever since those services, I have not had one single problem. You know, God is a healer. Right there in my seat. You don't have to come down to the front to get your healing. Just reach out with faith. Oh, my Lord. It's been wonderful. It's been glorious. And I tell you what, once you have an experience, there's no science, there's no philosophy that can take you away from that, right? Once it becomes personal, now if you have a head knowledge of what's going on, you know, somebody can persuade you differently. But once you have that experience, and see, deep down we know, you know, if just the basic, on the basic level, there's that deep that calls out to the deep. You feel it. I feel it. in the darkest tribe of Africa. They feel it. And we want to sing a song that my mom wrote. It's called, this is by request. It's called A Love Song.
Who are you? Where are you? Why do I long for you like I do? Seeking you only, living my lonely life, wanting you. My feelings run deep, and I want to weep when I think of you. Who are you? Where are you? Why do I long for you? Who are you?
I am the I am who made you and died for you. I know you. I am the way, the truth and the life, and I call to you. I am the deep that you seek. In my arms I will carry you. I am the I am who found you and won't lose you. I love you.
Who are you?
I am the I am.
Why do I long for you? Seeking you only, living
alive, and I call to you.
My feelings rise.
Deep that you seek, in my arms I will carry you.
Who are you?
I am who found you and won't lose you. I love you. I am the deep, and I call to you. I love you. I am the way, the truth and life. I love you. I am who made you and died for you.
Songs this morning. Praise the Lord. Sister Tasha, God bless you. Come on. Ever how you have that arranged this morning? We certainly enjoyed them last night. That little trio, those little brothers, blessed our heart, didn't they? Amen. Amen. Give them a nice hand as they come to sing for you today.
What they just talked about, the I am, so I feel like maybe this was Lord willing for us to sing this song this morning. Y'all just pray for our voices.
I
am the Almighty God. I am the one from whom nothing is too hard. I am the shepherd and I am the door. I am the good news to the bound and the poor. I am, I am, I am, I am. I am the righteous one. I am the lamb. I am the rent in the bush of Abraham. I am the ultimate sacrifice for sin. I am your redeemer, the beginning.
Yeah. If we believe that is true, no matter what we ever face, what more would we need besides the I Am? Let's stand together. Certainly appreciate the privilege to be together again today in the house of God. Certainly enjoyed the service last night, and we're just looking forward to what the Lord will speak to our hearts today. I know it's needless really to ask, but I'd like for you to confess it. Him has a need today in your heart, in your life. And maybe believes God is able, more than able, to take care of your needs. Amen. Let's just open our hearts now to receive the Word. I'm sure the power of the Word is still such a phenomenal thing, and yet it's so simple in the way that it reveals itself. If God can somehow be able to take our hearts as we're able to receive from human instrumentality His words and so inspire us that it would be the very same one when we do hear the voice, it would be the very same one that said, let there be light. Amen. Then no matter whatever stood in our way, we would be able to believe that word, and that word will come to pass. Amen. You believe it?
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing together, Touching Jesus. We'll invite Brother Joel to come out, speak to us what's on his heart, from the Lord's heart to our hearts. Let's sing it together. Touching Jesus is all that really matters. Then your life will never be the same. This morning, we thank God for being here this morning. But before we be seated, I'm going to sing one verse of the song, Won't It Be a Time. I'm just going to, y'all help me this morning. I couldn't get out of it again, so praise God. Won't it be a time?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You know, right now, Brother Junior Davis is in there going through the head of a successful operation this morning. But God, hallelujah, what are you going to be when when the operation and all those parts come back together? The power of God is able to do that this morning. Hallelujah, won't it be a time talking with the angels? I said, won't it be a time?
Albany. I heard her name, Sister Crayhead. I looked on the other side of the river. I seen another sister say, they're going to take a stronger wind in this. And I said, that's Sister Brenda Lewis. Honey, won't it be a time when they make it on this earth? And I said, won't it be a time? Song become reality. Hallelujah. Wouldn't it be a real good time when I ain't got to worry no more? Hallelujah. I don't have to worry about getting tired no more. Hallelujah. We can worship God 10,000 years and we just got started. Hallelujah. Want to be a time then. Thank the Lord this morning. It'll be all this morning, but we want to say by God's grace, I'm going to say thank Brother Dunny for inviting us up this weekend to be in service with you. Appreciate that. And I want to say to my son-in-law enjoyed it. It's good to have a Christian son-in-law. Hallelujah. Me and him come out of the same background of a lifestyle. You know, we kind of hit it off. You know, he kind of come out the same way I did. We come up on the south side of town. Yeah, you couldn't be walking down there with your wallet in your hand. You better have it in your pocket. So, you know, that's the way we come up. So me and him kind of grew kind of the same background. But when the Holy Ghost come, that wouldn't make the difference. You say, well, and no, don't because you raised in the message don't mean that you're a Christian. When you become a Holy Ghost filled Christian, that wouldn't make the difference. God ain't looking at your natural genealogy. Appreciate my wife being able to be with us this morning in service. And everything is good. Then got my grandboys here. I love good for them to be here. And we got the church sisters here. And it's good for them to be here. And none of them young ladies is married. Praise God. So, you see, so they, but thank God for them. They love the Lord. And I appreciate those sisters that come up with us this weekend. And I want to say thanks to Brother Joe Brown. It ain't no wonder Joe Brown is no fatter than he is. His wife can cook. Praise the Lord. Maybe Brother Joe inherited Brother Donnie Tapeworm. So praise God. So we just thank the Lord this morning. And while you're standing, we're going to go right to the Word of God this morning. From the book of Proverbs, I'm going to read the 18th chapter, 21 verse, St. Mark 11th chapter, and the 23rd verse. Proverbs, the 18th chapter, and I want to read. I've been going to turn around and read this way. I just got this new Bible. You know, it's better to read it up here for me. And then where it says, death and life are in the power of the what? And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. St. Mark 11 chapter verse 23. It's speaking of Jesus. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be casted and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his what? But shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass. I say shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he what? Hallelujah. Let us pray about that. Father God, I ask you in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I ask you, Lord, to help me to yield my body, my mind, my soul, my spirit one more time. Father, help me to get myself out of the way this morning and the people to do likewise. Father God, I trust God that you would take over this vessel, use it for your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray this morning. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. Thank the Lord for the reading of the word of God this morning. Thank God for his power and his might. How do you say it? God ain't seen a blessing in a long time. But if you had woke up in the morning, clothed in your right mind, and you was able to sit down at the table and eat your food this morning, you have been blessed. Hallelujah, you have been blessed. But we thank God for the word this morning. The power and life and death is in the power of the tongue. Hallelujah, I'm going to deal this morning the deadliest weapon that was given to Adam's race. Hallelujah, we're living in an age where a lot of well people say, where we living there today, every time you turn around, somebody walking in and something taking place. Now they put click up enough for me this morning. Hallelujah. So we're dealing with weapons this morning. Hallelujah. This is what people's afraid of. Hallelujah. I want to tell you what, I don't want to be in church and somebody walk in church with a 357 Magnum. Now you might say, brother, I'm going to tell you, brother, if somebody walk in this morning with a 357 Magnum, everybody going to start shaking. Or you say, well, that's a gun. They should. I would be afraid. I would have a little shaky feeling on me if somebody walk in church with a knife. Because we realize this is no play to carry a gun and come in with a knife in your hand. But if he walk in church with a bomb, that's going to be the problem. Because if he walk in church with a bomb, every man for his sake. Because I'm going to tell you what, I'm out of here. You say, well, I know I am out of here. You better run for your life. Because we know right there, if he walk in church with a bomb, how is everybody going to be shaking in their boots? Because we realize here, a bomb don't blow in church. Honey, so we begin to realize here, everybody fear the thing that comes like that. Everybody fear the weapon. Honey, in other words, I want to tell you something, people. That was not a gun that destroyed the human race. That was not a knife that destroyed the human race. That was not a bomb that destroyed the human race. Next. The devil did not come to eat with a 357 in his hand. He did not come to eat with a knife in his hand. He did not come to eat with a bomb in his hand. He came with a tongue. He brought the human race down by his big fat mouth. And I'm going to tell you right now, it ain't what we need. We don't need gun control in America. We don't need knife control in America. We don't need bomb control in America. We need tongue control. How do you realize here? Our problem in America is not guns. Our problem is not knife. Our problem is bomb. Not bomb. It's two leaders coming together and with their mouth. And they cannot come to an agreement. So they say, we're going to fight it out. Yeah. Everything we got started by the power of the tongue. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. People, that's the thing we got to fear. Now that is the thing we better worry about. Next. Weapons. There's are three types of tongues we got in the church. Types of tongues we got in the church. The shotgun, the single shot, and the automatic. Now let me deal with the three types of tongues in the church. The shotgun is a gun that spreads out a lot of panics. You shoot it and it spreads out like this. That is the tongue that goes in the church to start spreading out drugs, poisoning doctors among the people, telling lies, or spreading this. That's the shotgun tongue. Now we got a single shot tongue. That's the one always point somebody out to shoot. I'm going to shoot this one over here. I got something against him. He didn't shake my hand last week. So I got my single shot on him. That's a single shot. Then you got the automatic. That's the one that come in the church to kill everybody. He tear the whole church up. That's an automatic tongue. But we don't need that kind of tongue. We need a tongue that praise God with, that come to church, that say hallelujah with. Hallelujah. Now I want to deal with this tongue for a few minutes. I like the way the book of James said it. Because in your mouth How in your mouth is power, life, and death. How did Adam power was in his mouth? How did Adam power was in his mouth? Adam, I'm going to give you the authority to speak the word. Whatever you say, Adam, I will give it unto you. His power is in his mouth. God powers in his mouth. Let there be light. He released the thought from his mind. He spoke it through his mouth. Hallelujah. And it became light. Hallelujah. We find here, so your power. Let's look at this fellow for a minute. The tongue here. James 1:26. It says, if any man has seen, any man when you seem to be religious and bridle not his tongue, but deceive his own heart, this man religion is in vain. Hallelujah. So we realize here, you that we're not coming to be a religious person. We come to be a born again person. I come to speak the word of life. I come to talk about God. I come to give him glory this morning. I woke up this morning this way with Christ on the left, on my tongue. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for letting me see another day. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about the power of God that he gave in my mouth. It's life and death is in the tongue. Proverbs 2:6 says, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So now one man religion in vain, one man receive of knowledge and understanding, and it all come by the mouth. Then he finds Psalms 34:13 say, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lip from speaking guile. So we begin to realize here, our problem is not guns. Our problem is not knife. Our problem is tongue. Hallelujah. There's been one gun that broke a church up. There's been one gun, not one knife that broke a church up. Only thing that broke a church up is somebody not able to control his big fat tongue. So we're here because we are in an age that people are not looking for revelation. They're looking for information. Hallelujah. People ain't praying for revelation. They are praying for information. Hallelujah. I'm trying to figure all this out. I'm trying to figure the cloud out. It ain't to figure out. It's to believe that God done something for you today. This is the age of information. Now, I don't know what place we're in, brother. How many more we got, Brother Horn? I got them all. You got them all? I'm on Brother Rod, wherever come up. I'm going to show you about the tongue. Oh, you ain't done it yet. Okay. Oh, you can start doing it. Okay, praise God. So, in other words, don't let that body, you're going to keep preaching till you get through. Hallelujah. So, we begin to run. I like the way Paul said it. Hallelujah. Paul said it in Romans 10:8. He said, but what say it? The word is nigh to thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word, the word of faith which we preach. Hallelujah. So he let you know the power of faith come by hearing the word of God. Hallelujah. Power of faith come by hearing the word of God. Hallelujah. In other words, if you got to hear it, order to have faith. You got to hear it, order to speak faith. Hallelujah. This morning, you don't come to church to get a new car. You don't come to church to get a new house. You come to church to hear from God, trying to have faith. Hallelujah. I'm going to be able to move my mountain when it comes. Hallelujah. I'm going to be able to say to the mountain, get out of my way. I'm speaking the word of life. I'm speaking the word of faith. Get out of my way. Hallelujah. That's what we call sickness. Get out of my way. But the word is in my mouth. We're talking about this morning. We're dealing with this tongue. Because we realize here that's the thing that we've been struggling with so much. We've been the thing that we deal with so much. Hallelujah. My problem had not been my hands. My problem ain't been my feet. My problem been my mouth. If I could ever get my mouth to line up with the word, my body will follow it. Hallelujah. In other words, if I could ever get my mouth to tell my body I'm healed, hallelujah, and not doubt in my heart, my body will automatically come to healing. The power of life and death is in your tongue. You got power. You just don't realize who you are. You got power to speak a word into existence and go and live on it. It's in your mouth right now. You know what's so wrong? We're having a hard time with this fellow right here. We wrestle with the thing so much. This tongue right here. Because with Adam, remember him. Adam's problem was when Adam spoke something that God didn't say. Hallelujah, he had a problem. He said something that God never revealed to him. When God's voice came to Adam, that voice always moved Adam in the spirit of praise. It always moved Adam in the spirit of worship. But this time, Adam heard his voice and he was afraid. That's why people get afraid when they got sin in their life. People get afraid when they got condemnation in their life. He's Adam. Adam. What? Now, Adam was the son of God. And the reason I know he was the son of God, he had the ability to hear the voice. Remember, a serpent seed ain't got ears. How did he not hear the voice? But Adam had the ability to hear the voice. He said, I heard your voice. And I was afraid. God never mentioned that word. Adam, who gave you the spirit of fear? God never gave him the spirit of fear. He gave him the spirit of peace and a sound mind. And if Adam speaking something, he told his body how to die. We teach ourselves how to die. How do we teach ourselves? We start speaking death to ourselves. As soon as we start, hallelujah, how you say, oh, brother, I don't speak death. Every time I see people around me, wowsy, I guess I ain't going to never make the rapture. I guess you won't. I guess you won't be ready when the rapture comes. As long as you keep your mouth saying that, your body going to automatically reject the rapture. Your body going to automatically fight you against the rapture. I'm not going to tell my body. I'm not going to make the rapture. I'm telling my body every day, I am born to take the rapture because the word says so. Hallelujah. And when the last one get through, walk up to the front. You the last one. He the only one saw the mystery. Okay, he didn't see the mystery, Brother Horn. Okay, see, we want to deal with this. Come on up here, brother. All right, God bless you, brother. Hold that, Brother Horn. I'll let you do something. God bless you, sir.
God bless you.
All right, my friend.
All right.
Let's get one thing straight.
All right.
I'm preaching, you're going to tell what I said. See, because we hear so much information. We people, we love to hear information. Somebody said this. Brother, did you hear somebody over here saying this? But he's going to tell it like I said it. Now tell what I said.
Okay. Brother went to Trinidad.
He went to Trinidad and he had a baked shark. He had shark. It was baked. And then he went to the beach.
Is that what they told you? Go on, finish.
Trinidad and Jamaica. Jamaica and Trinidad. And had baked shark. And at the beach. And then he went to the Outback and with the Saints. And then you went to Outback?
What they told you?
And I'm sure he had a marvelous time with the Saints.
Hallelujah, the man. The man only told what I said. He told what I said that somebody else said that I said. Hallelujah, who the man say that I am? Somebody said you are Elijah. Somebody said you're one of the brothers. No, I don't need secondhand information. I need revelation. Who do you say that I am? All right, tell him who I am. I'm going to deal with this information age we got.
First time I went out of the country, I was 20 years old. I went to South America. I came back then to Jamaica to Brother Keith Reed's. Then me and my wife went to Trinidad, and we had some meetings. And we went to the ocean and ate baked shark. Then came back home and went out to Outback and ate dinner. We went to see our grandchildren, and now we're packing up to go out west for some meetings and fellowship with the saints.
Thank you, brother. Hallelujah! That's the kind of information. compassion, that we spread in the church. Oh, brother, this person said that you cannot believe nothing that your tongue tells. Let every man's word be a lie, and Jesus said, mine be the truth. But today we are in this age of information, and that's why the church is all messed up. That's why the message got so many problems. Everybody want to hear what somebody else said about Brother Brandon, or what somebody else said about Brother Donnie, or somebody said about Brother Joel, or age of information. Hallelujah. I was like, oh, Brother Brandon couldn't have been there. He was not there when the crowd took place. Hallelujah. How did he get to the crowd? You tell me how to join the revelation. How did he get over in my day and see my day? He was called up. But this information age had got people so confused. Everybody, instead of spreading revelation. Jesus never said, I'm going to build my church on information. He said, I'm going to build my church on revelation. Because revelation always say the same thing. Revelation always have truth in it. But if you don't say that, if it's not a revelation, then you ought to get rid of it. Now, I want you to deal with this. I'm going to deal with this thing real quick. But the problem is we're trying to control something called the tongue. We get religious and we say, hallelujah, I'm turning over a new leaf. Well, then you better get rid of your tongue. Hey, in other words, you better get rid of your tongue. Hallelujah. You say, why people try to get there? In other words, I'm gonna be a better, I'm gonna dress right. Hallelujah. This year, I'm gonna start not cutting my hair. I'm gonna start wearing my dresses. I'm gonna start I'm gonna quit going in. I'm gonna quit telling this little white lie. It ain't a white lie. But you know how it is. In other words, but we always get all these things. But the problem is not your dress code. The problem is not your hair. The problem is your tongue. I want to deal with this thing for a few minutes. I want to deal with this information age. So we begin to go here. So now we are trying to control something that we cannot control without the Holy Ghost. The problem is, it is not the tongue. The problem is the Holy Ghost in the person. I'm going to use one quote from the adoption message. I'm not adoption message, statue of perfect man. But before I read that, I'm going to show you the tongue for a few minutes. We want to look at this thing right here. Because I found here that your tongue has got power of life in it. It got power. God gave you this tongue to rule. In other words, every creature speak the word and the monkey obey you and all these things. Adam walked down through the lion laid down with the lamb. Yeah. Some people say we're in the millennium. You lay down with a hungry lion, you'll find out what millennium you're in. You'll be in the millennium part of the earth. Yes, sir. So we want to deal with this thing for a minute. Because God intended for us to control, and man have been able through the speaking of the word to control beasts. Man have come to that point. You call a dog Jack long enough, he gonna come. The dog, you call him Jack, Jack, Jack. Sooner or later, the dog say, that's me talking about. God called us sons of God so low that we got to realize that's me that he's talking about. I want to read one in James 3, verse 6 through 8. The thing that we trust so much. James, the third chapter, verses 6 through 8. I can get that one up there real quick. That's the only one I'll be, think that's the last one I use. James 6. Oh, yes, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. I want you to notice how powerful this little thing is. Right. You said, Brother Joel, what do I need to do with it? You need to get the Holy Ghost. Yeah. You said, Brother Joel, you say, well, if I cut it out, that don't mean that you cut it out. You still. So you had the Holy Ghost someday control this thing. So let's look at this little fellow right here. Just say right here. The tongue is a what? A world of a what? So is the tongue among our members that it defiles the what?
Whole body.
Hallelujah, the whole body. Not half the body. Not just defile the hand. It defiles the whole body. Hallelujah, it defiles the whole body. And it's set on fire the course of what?
Man.
And it is set on fire of what?
Hell.
I'd like to see hell. It ain't too far from me. Y'all got to do that. If you don't get the Holy Ghost, that's what it is. Next verse. For every kind of a beast, man tongue have been able to master. How did we go? God intend for man to be a creator. He intend for man to speak the word and the monkey does. Hallelujah. Everything that should have been subject to us. And then whatever beast of the field should have been subject to us. Hallelujah. Every kind of beast of the field. Every kind of beast. And of birds. And of what?
Birds.
And of things that is in the sea. Have been tamed of mankind. How did man have been able to bring it under rulership? How did man have been able to bring these beasts under subjection by the power of the tongue?
Amen.
How did been able to rule be able to rule the lion, the king of the beast, by speaking the word and the lion comes subject to him?
Right.
Been able to get the serpents under his dominionship. Now the serpent can't hear. So he'd been able to take vibrations. He'd been able to take music and say, we call it Friday Night Live, and get the music to wake up and the serpent start jumping. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you what, hallelujah, even the serpent, the cave, which cannot even hear, they are able to be brought under subjection to mankind. Man have been a man is the image of God. The power's in your mouth. Next verse. Uh-oh. We got a problem. We have got a big problem. But the tongue. No man could open the book. Hallelujah. Neither could no man tame the tongue. Hallelujah. So no man can tame it. But the tongue no man can tame. It is an unruly. Full of what?
Deadly
poison. I want to stop right there because here it was. Hallelujah, the tongue is full of deadly poison. Hallelujah, people today. Hallelujah, this cup was full of diamondback rattlesnake poison. And I would ask you to come up here to prove that you got the Holy Ghost. You said, would you do it? I ain't got nothing to prove. I done a lot of dumb things, but I'm not that dumb. I ain't got nothing to prove. I don't need to prove to you I got the Holy Ghost. You just watch the way my mouth works. Watch the words I say. You'll be able to tell if you got the Holy Ghost or not. But every time you speak an evil word, do you realize your body is poison? See, if I say something bad about Brother Horn, my body is poison. So when I get around him, he gonna feel the effect of that poison.
That's right.
Hallelujah. I don't have to say a word to him because my body is rejecting him. But why? Because I was saying something to him and my body comes subject to my word and my body start rejecting my brother.
Yeah, that's right.
You think nobody don't know when you're talking about him, that body will reject him.
Yeah.
Why your body become poisoned by your mouth?
Yeah.
You tell your body, I don't like that person. You don't have to tell that person that. You won't have to tell him that your body gonna start to do that. It gonna start pulling away from the brother. Why you think people leave church? They get an attitude against somebody. That body become poison. Hallelujah. They begin to pull from the peoples. That church over there, everybody got problems. I'm gonna find me a perfect church. Well, you better go to the Elizabeth or Jefferson City Cemetery to find one. You ain't gonna find no perfect church without the Holy Ghost. And then when they get the Holy Ghost, they gotta stay under the atmosphere of the word because your body ain't redeemed yet. I'm gonna look here, but this is how the prophet taught it. In statue of a perfect man, I'm just gonna read a quote what he says. He said, he spoke on temperance. That's the thing that we gotta get under control. Like Brother Carlos said, you don't get to stay under control. You'll be hitting the walls, doing everything else. I done been there and done that.
Yeah.
Hell, you'll be getting there. You say, well, I ain't never hit my wife, but your tongue will do more damage than your fist will.
Preach.
Your tongue will hurt her more than your fist will. Because
right.
She live by words.
Yeah.
So you got to speak positive words to her so she can have confidence in you.
Yeah.
You think your wife going to obey you and you don't know how to treat her?
Yeah.
Well, I need to get the solution. Well, the solution is to speak the right word. In other words, if she's the real submission wife, she'll start coming submission to that aquifer. But if you know, sometimes you know we have to deal with other problems, but I'm not going to deal with that tonight. Have that this morning. But he says here, temperance. Speaking on temperance. Temperance does not mean stop drinking alcohol. That ain't what we're talking about. Or here, no. Temperance does not mean alcohol cure in this case. But the Bible temperance, Holy Ghost temperance. It's just one, they talking about one of the lusts of the flesh. What we talking about, Holy Ghost temperance. That means how to control your tongue. How can I do it? Get the Holy Ghost. Not be a shotgun tongue. A tender. How to control your temper. Boy, that is hard for men to get. Some women's. Some women had to get you too. How to control your temper. Not flying off every time somebody speak a cross word to you. Now I'm going to deal with something. You will not be cured by alcohol. By, you know, I got tempers, I'm controlling my habits and here. Because alcohol AAA schools do not, going to an alcohol AA place, take it out, I forgot what you call it, but to go there and try to get treatments. And you say, I'm going to go there and I'm going to get a treatment and I'm going to quit drinking for 6 months. That's about all you're going to do. Because you ain't going to get a demon to leave out in an AA school. Or AA course. How do demons ain't going? You don't rehab demons. Demons is not built. How did Jesus never rehab one demon? He never told you go down here to AA and then you get healed. Jesus said, come out by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And the reason people, you know, when you go, I got cousins, they've been in and out of rehabs. And the reason they've been in and out of rehabs, because they have taught them, they don't use the name of Jesus Christ, what casts out demons. They use the name of the higher power. Well, there's many powers in the world. There's black power, white power, green power. Hallelujah. But I'm talking about the name of one power that can cast out demons, and that is in the name of the power of Jesus Christ. But he tells you to use the name of the higher power. What is he doing? He's selling you psychology. He's selling you psychology. You're paying for psychology. You're trying to get healed or get delivered by a psychology. Then he's going to always tell you, you're going to go to your those little meetings they have. And you got to get up and you got to say before the whole people's, I'm a junkie. And I've been there. I've been off of cocaine for 6 weeks, and I'm still a junkie. Hallelujah! And I'm going to stay away from all my friends. And I'm going to do this. Hallelujah! What are you doing? You are telling your body that demon can stay right there. But Jesus never told him that. Jesus said, "Come out by the power of the Holy Ghost." I am not a junkie. I am set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. People, I only one time. I met the blood of Jesus Christ. All I did, 32 or 33 years later. I'm not a junkie. I'm clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. This is not rehab we're trying to get you to. This is deliverance we're trying to get you to. Why people don't get delivered? Well, I'm born to be a manic depressant. You did not curse your own body. You did not told your own body you're going to be bound by this demon the rest of your life. I'm not born to be a mental depressant. I'm not born here to call for my family genealogy. My mama had sugar diabetes. My mama had high blood pressure. I don't have to have it because Jesus said, by his stripes, I'm healed. But we add the information. People's love information. That's what we're preaching on. I want you to notice here. They always want to hear something. People love lies. Oh, man, they love lies. You want to tell a man a lie, he'll fall over your feet. You tell a man the truth, then he got a problem. Call a preacher by ball game. One time I mentioned a statement at a church. I say, Brother Brad say, Eagles don't go to ball game chicken. Everybody in the church got mad at me. Come on now. I told him, I said, look it up. And the brother come back to me. But I'm sorry, brother. I didn't know Brother Brad said that. I said, well, that's what he said. Hallelujah. Anyway, brother, why we don't believe that? Because we let some thought come in our mind and tell my body, I can do what I want to do. I live in America. I don't care what you do. But if you are called by God, your tongue come from another kingdom. Your voice come from another kingdom. False witnesses, false evidence, false things that took place. People always want to hear something that's a lie. Walmart got a whole section of lies. They call them those magazines. You know, you walk in Walmart and all you look on there, and all of a sudden, Ella Presley was resurrected. He was in Memphis, Tennessee, riding a bike. We saw Michael Jackson on the moonwalk. And people that are dumb enough won't pay tithes but go buy that junk. I said, if you miss around and see Ella Presley or Michael Jackson, you'd have missed the rapture. But the point of it is, I want to get this point right here. Why that thing is taking place? Because people love false information. So Facebook has become a channel so we can learn how to be. Women can preach now. Oh yeah, they can preach now. I need to, let me go and get on faith. I need to straighten Brother Dunny out. I need to straighten Brother Jewel. I know you need to straighten your big fat mouth out. So we have got an age of false information. Honey, people love, there's so much information coming around the message that half of it ain't not but garbage. If I believe Jesus Christ was the same yesterday, today, and forever, I don't need to get on the Facebook to find out all the criticism they say about Brother Randy. Because my revelation is not based in Brother Brandon. My revelation based in the God he brought us to. Honey, Brother Brandon was a man like me. He made mistakes. But when he got behind it and lost himself in the mind of God, and he said, thus said the Lord, that was not a man speaking, that was God taking over. So we want to deal with this information. I want you to notice how, I'm going to give you a couple of illustrations. I got a call a year or so ago. Somebody called me. They said, Brother Jewel, I was on Facebook. Had you heard? I said, what? That Brother Harold Hillebrand have died. I said, for real? He said, yep. I said, I grabbed the phone. I'll give you a call. One of the pastors tell me, did you hear Brother Hillebrand die? Something, you better check that out. I said, yeah, that's good. I better go and find out before I tell somebody. Because I believe when God made one his brother, Harold Hillebrand, there ain't no telling how many Harold Hillebrands in Canada. Hallelujah. In other words, I said, let me check this out. So I got some information. I called Brother Kelly. He called Brother Harold and every day. And later on, I got a phone run. I picked up the phone. I said, hello. He said, Brother Jewel, this is Brother Harold. Last time I checked, I was alive. Last time I checked, I was alive. I said, praise be to God. That's the kind of information we get, and we start shooting it all through the church. You got to make sure you got revelation. I was in a meeting a few weeks ago, and a brother walked up to me and said, brother, praise God, Brother Jewel. Said, my brother saw you with Brother Fred and him up here a couple weeks ago. I said, he did? He said, yeah, he told me. He said, he saw you up there. He was glad to see you. I said, brother, let me tell you something. I said, he may saw a black man. No question about that. He just didn't see this black man because I was preaching somewhere else that time. See how information spread. How did somebody mistake somebody to be me? And it started spreading. People just that simple. A lie could go through the church and cause a big problem. We talk about here because we are living in this age of information. People are getting on. That's why we find people backsliding in the message. They're not backsliding. They backsliding. Because they're trying to figure out where Brother Brandon made this mistake. Brother Brandon made, look at how I pulled this up. This brother over here said that one of them brothers that's saying it ain't got no vindication. Or the vindication they got in their mouth.
Right.
How did my Bible tell me, let every man's word be a lie and let God be the truth? How do, why we go on the internet to find out about all this stuff? I don't care. All I know, one time I heard a voice.
Yeah.
And it was not the voice of William Brandon. It was the voice of God sounding.
Yeah.
It was not William Brandon that told me I was the son of God. It was not William Brandon that told me I was healed or delivered from drugs. It was his vessel.
Yeah.
It was the voice behind him. Yeah. That was the power of God laid, not in the man, but in that voice of God. See, but you hear this stuff here, information get out. Some backslidden Christian, some backslidden, brought down and preached a few things, got all over the world. Because some backslider trying to find a case against a brother. How many people here? Some people going to believe it. I know that. Let me tell you something, people. I'm not a cook. I would pretend you didn't hear that. But here we go. I'm not a cook. I'm really going to be honest. I'm not a chef. If you think I'm a chef, I'll tell you what, one thing I can say, one thing about your pastor. What they're trying to accuse him of, that is actually contrary to everything I done saw in the man. He is the only man, him and Brother Darrell, they ate my chicken. They tried to eat my chicken. I was so happy I had somebody that was going to eat my cooking. And Brother Darrell, he being so suspicious, he said, I better ask his wife. And he called it, and my wife was there. He said, Sister Vanessa, he said, can Brother Jewel cook? She started laughing. But you, and praise God, I feel like a man eat my chicken, that man got the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So we see what we're saying, people. But this is the age of information. It's so much stuff we done poured from everything else. By every book somebody read. God didn't tell me to preach Dr. Dawson. You say, well, I need to know how to control my finances. You get the Holy Ghost in to teach you. Hallelujah. Everything you need is in the message. Hallelujah. Hey, don't worry. You got a financial drug. If many financial junkies it is, junkies. Yo, we got financial junkies. That credit card, boy. I got to buy this. I got to buy this. We got so much stuff now. We do. We got all kinds of stuff, people. Ain't nobody here looking lame. Look lean from being over, not enough food. Everybody I see look pretty happy and smiling. Honey, but the point of it is, we got so much stuff right now. Why? Because we got, and then when we got a problem here, I can't take it. What I'm going to spend my next credit card day? I need to get this. I don't have to pay but 10 cents a month on it. You're going to be paying 10 cents a month till you get 65 years old too. Honey, the problem is, get the Holy Ghost and really ask yourself, do you really need what you're going to get? Hallelujah. You know, women's always, excuse me, but women don't never get enough shoes. I mean, that's just the way it is. Every time you see them, I think I need that pair of shoes. My wife tell me all the time, you know, she ain't got no shoes. Now, I'm probably going to get in trouble, but here we are. She said, I ain't got no shoes. Now, I don't know what her revelation of shoes is. I happened to open the closet. There's shoes in the closet. I looked under the bed. There's shoes under the bed. I should have opened up a store. Discount shoes. But they see what I'm saying, people? We trying to control things by using what Dr. Dawson said. We don't need that. We need the baptism of the Holy Ghost to control us. Now I'm going to use a couple more illustrations for our parachute. See, people, the day and time that we live in, When people get the Holy Ghost, they feel like they can say what they want to. And it don't matter to me. I got the Holy Ghost. I'm a predestinated son of God. I can say what I want to say about anybody. It ain't nothing going to happen to me. I am full of the Holy Ghost, brother. So I can say what I want to say and get by. The devil is not worrying about the sinner cussing them out and using the Lord name in vain. That is not the devil's problem. How do he know he already got them? They already blaspheming their dead way. How do he concerned about the people that got the Holy Ghost? If he can make your mouth say something, you got power to bring a plague down on somebody, and he knows that. How do he hear the word? Child, you say, well, the devil took my child. You sure it was the devil? Or was not your mouth? I don't think my child gonna ever be saved. Well, you did not paralyze your faith. You did not paralyze that child from even getting the Holy Ghost. You have to look beyond what the flesh said. Say, I believe that my child is going to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I don't care what he's doing, but he's going to be saved. You say, Brother John, you say, what are you trying to say? Let's just look at some of these things right here. How powerful your tongue is. I'm talking about the people that got the Holy Ghost now. That can say what they want to and think it ain't going to do. Remember, when you release a word, that's power. Something's going to take place. Your word is going to take place. Hallelujah. In other words, I remember one time I said a stupid comment. I was just sitting there, and I was young. I was 18 years old. I wish I'd be in a car wreck. I don't get killed, but I get a lot of money. 3 months later, me and my buddy hit a tree doing 100 miles to 100 miles, 120 miles an hour. Wrapped the car around the tree. But I didn't know when I spoke that word that my best friend was going to get killed. His head was busted open. I was on life support because I spoke something and got out of my mouth. I wish I could do this, and I got the money. To get the money, I lost a friend. You better watch what you speak. I'm going to use a couple of illustrations before I close this morning. I remember one time there was a man named Jacob. Jacob in the Bible, we know who he is. You remember Jacob? He goes down there to his father-in-law. Hallelujah. And then we go down, I believe, to get his wife, Rachel. In other words, then he go down there to get Rachel. And then we know the story. Well, his father-in-law was a pretty slick guy. You know what I'm saying, Brother Horn?
That's right.
Come on in. You can have him, man. Yeah, you good over. How would he think you feel? You wake up the next morning, you got the wrong wife. He probably say that. Boy, what y'all getting? Brother Horn, you woke up. He said, that ain't the woman I come to marry.
That's right.
Then he come over and say, well, I'll give you work for him 7 more years, you can get the next one. But we know the story goes. He began to trick. He began to play games with Jacob. You know how Jacob done the same thing? Well, his father-in-law had a little more wisdom he did. But he didn't have the power of discernment like Jacob did. So Jacob finally come to the conclusion. He said, I've been waiting for this day. He goes to his pop. Hey, pop, what's up, man? All right, Jacob, what you got on your mind? And won't you let me have those spotted calves? He probably looked at that in the field. That boy done bumped his head. I ain't got no spotted calves out there. Jacob said, you ain't got none yet. But we know the story. Jacob come and put poplar sticks and the cows come down under pregnation.
Yeah, right.
They were pregnated when this took place. Hallelujah. In other words, and they begin to look on those poplar sticks, and what did they mark them in birth? They produce spotted cow. People ain't show here under this age of pregnation. We better watch what we put in our mind.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. People, this is the age of pregnation, and we finding out that people we thought had the Holy Ghost, they are manifesting some other life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then he goes there. And the spotted calves come. Now, here's a boy in my school called Snake. That was his nickname. All through school. And one day I was questioning, why he act like a snake? They said when his mama was pregnant, she went to the zoo. And she was looking at a big bold inscriptor scracking his tongue while she was pregnant. Now when the boy was born, all through school, he said.
Yeah. Think about it.
Never did quit, for as I know. Snake.
Yeah.
Under this age, you better be careful, people. But we're going to let me finish this up real quick. So we go here and we look at the stand. Now, here he is. So finally, Jacob tell his father, he said, let me, father, I'm on my family. I'm on everything that God blessed me with. I'm leaving.
Yeah.
So Rachel says, my daddy been believing these dumb gods. They ain't done nothing for us. I'm taking these with us. So by the time he got home, Laman got home, he was godless. His power was gone. His God on a vacation. So here we are. So you know he gonna go there. He gonna get rid of Jacob. He ready to kill him now. He done took his gods. The problem was he should have kept Jacob there. Those gods wasn't blessing him. It was the power that was on Jacob that was blessing him. Then he goes to Jacob. Now watch how powerful your words are. Jacob spoke this. He said, wherever you find them gods, let them die. He didn't know he was going to destroy his own wife a few pages later because he spoke death. He said, let her die. Hallelujah. And remember that she went to the tent and she was the time of the month and he did not come in. The God was up on her, but a few pages over, we find her dying in childbirth. You better watch what you speak, church. You got power in your mouth. Let me use another illustration. There was a man named Jethal in the Bible. A harlot son. With nobody. But Israel wanted him to come and join up with them to fight. And you know the story. He asked him for inheritance and all that. But what he did, Lord, if you give me this battle. His own words. He didn't know he was getting ready to kill somebody dear to him. He said, Lord, if you give me this battle, everything that crossed this door, the thrust of this door floor, I'd give it to you for a burnt offering. He won the battle. The battle went good. And all of a sudden, here come his own daughter, his only child, stepped across the door. His mouth killed his own child. This man was found in the book of Hebrews of faith, but because the words he said come to pass. Let me show you. Do you realize when Israel said here, how when they were to go crucify Jesus, they didn't realize what they were saying? They give us Barabbas and Jesus. They said, no, give us Barabbas and crucify him and let his blood be on us. Let his blood be on us and our children. They didn't know they gonna kill the whole race. Kill the whole generation of kids because of they said that. 6 million Jews died under Hitler, all over God, by your own words. The power's in you right now. But you said, Brother Jewel, you always, every time somebody ever used the Old Testament to do this. Oh, well, let's use something out of our day. Brother Bram was a man of God. Amen. He had visions. He saw visions. And visions are contrary to what the human mind can figure out. See, we try to figure out vision, but see, the point of it is, how was Ezekiel then be translated to see things? Hallelujah. You said, well, Brother Bram, that don't mean he wasn't called up in it. Hallelujah. So we try to figure out vision. You can't figure out vision. Hallelujah. In other words, how could John be on the Isle of Patmos and be looking over in my day and see what was going on? He stayed on the Isle of Patmos. He said, but I was called up. Hallelujah. He was called up into the power of God, opened up the plan and showed John what was going on in Simba. You don't have to be in that spot to be called up. Hallelujah. A vision can meet you anywhere, anytime. But listen here, Brother Brandon had these things supernaturally. Amen. Show you how powerful the tongue is. He had an experience. He found what a true power the Holy Ghost was moving in. Because somebody had a tongue to speak against God, speak against his people. She said, don't you care, my daughter, down there to them bunch of nuts. Brother Brandon listened to his wife, mother-in-law. And when he listened to his mother-in-law, he didn't know he was going to kill his wife. And he killed his daughter by listening to that voice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, people, it don't matter who you are. You say the wrong words. Yeah. We're going to have to realize who we are this morning as the musicians come back. The power of God didn't give you a tongue. He gave you a tongue for one reason. To praise God with it. He gave you the tongue for one reason, to speak the truth and love. Hallelujah, speak the truth and love. People, when people try to correct you today, hallelujah, when you preach about split dresses and things and jury and things, people get becoming so worldly, they think you're talking foreign language. It's not foreign language. People's spirits follow, and spirits is out there. We just got to guard ourselves. Women's, we got to guard ourselves. Say no that you was a testimony against him. So he tried to make you feel, this lady over here, she looks so pretty that way. But he don't want to show you the big picture. That lady didn't look pretty. She is sending sons of God to hell. How do you ought to say, Lord, I don't believe that we had to walk around like a rag. I told her, my wife ain't going to walk around looking like a rag doll. Right. When I walk outside, I want you to say, hey, baby, hey, you look good to me. I don't care what your revelation says, but mine, I ain't gonna let her go around with her all butted up and rollers and all that stuff. I don't play that. But I believe that you ought to be as modest, you ought to be as holiness, but you ought to have such a light to shine for you that when somebody see you, they say that's a daughter of God. Hallelujah, you don't have to go around here looking like that, looking like a rag doll to make people know you got the Holy Ghost. All you got to do is walk. All you got to do is talk. All you got to do is praise God. People going to know who you are. Yeah. Hallelujah, as I begin to say this, I love to tell this story. Hallelujah, I like the way Carlos told it last night. We give up on people too quick. You know, first time something happened, well, he wasn't nothing but a serpent seed, no way. You can't say he was a serpent seed. Who gave you the discernment? God gave you, just said the Lord, that's a serpent seed? You better watch what you say. Hallelujah, Jesus didn't do it. In other words, Jesus didn't go around calling. He knew Judas who he was. Peter didn't know who he was. Do you remember when the 70-11 head of Jesus was there, and he said, well, eat my flesh and drink my blood. Hallelujah, didn't the Bible say, they finally come to the point, from that time, many of them walked away, and they didn't walk no more with him. They walked away, and they didn't never come back to repent, and God scratched their name off the book. St. John 6:66. On the 67th verse, he asked them, will you also go? Amen. Will you also leave me? Watch Peter's revelation. Peter was not looking at all of the mistakes that Jesus made. He done what people might have thought was a mistake or what they heard about Jesus. Oh, Joe Mary, she was with that Roman soldier. She was pregnant and all. Oh, no, he wasn't listening to all that junk. Amen. Peter went on Facebook trying to find out old Jesus wore failures. So when Jesus spoke, Jesus said, well, Peter said, who shall we go that has the words of eternal life? Amen. God in my mouth, I got the power to bless. He said, we are sure, we are positive that you are the Son of the living God. He blessed, he said, us 12 this year, we all believers. But you can't bless with God curse. You can't bless with God curse. God had already cursed Judas. You notice he never spoke to Peter, blessed them all. Then he said, hold it. Oh no, you're not blessing that serpent seed. I told you 12. Yes. And one of you is a devil. He would not permit Peter to bless Judas. Right. And neither would God let you. But the point of it is, he didn't go around telling Peter that. Right. Yeah. So you just got to pray in a way, Lord, let thy will be done for this person. Right. But the point of it is, I'm going to close out with this one. Like he used the other day, Carlos was speaking last night. I was looking a while back myself. He didn't know this. On the Navy SEALs. I'm looking on the Navy SEALs myself. The Navy SEALs is no other branch trained under the pressure of a Navy SEAL. Hallelujah, they are trained. And the main thing they are trained, not to leave nobody behind. Hallelujah, if a partner falls in battle, a Navy SEAL would risk his life to go out there and get him. That's what he's trained to do. He's trained to live his life for his brother. Hallelujah, so I told the story here as we get ready to close now. I said one time there was a battle going on, and it was a raging battle.
Yeah.
And it was a war fighting. And the guys was going across there on the enemy turf, but they realized they was outnumbered. They realized that every one of them was getting ready to die. And the sergeant or the colonel that seen what was going on, he told his men to retreat and run for your life. Yeah. Run for your life! Turn around! And run for your life. Yeah. And them guys start turning around. And them guys start running. And they were dropping one by one. The enemy was taking them out. I'm illustrating it. Probably ain't just the way in the real. But just let me tell it the way it's come to me. Hallelujah. And they running from their life. And all of a sudden, as this brother was running, he was running hard as he could. And he seen the young man. And his stomach was blowed out. His guts was hanging out.
Yeah.
And he seen them running. He looked up, laying there. He said, help me. Help me. Let us use this for illustration.
Yeah.
They said that man was Brother Donnie. He running. And this young man was hollering, help me. And blood all over him. His guts is already blowed out. And that soldier ripped down. He threw him on his back. And he kept running. And that colonel looked and seen him coming with that man on his back.
Yeah.
He says, Private, drop that man and save your life.
Yeah.
And that man kept running. Yeah. And the sergeant knew he hadn't obeyed or disobeyed his order.
That's right.
He knew he had disobeyed the order. So he looked at him again. He said, Private, I said drop that man and save your life. And that man kept running.
Right.
This time the sergeant realized, in this, I command you, in the state of the United States Army, to drop this man and save your life.
Yeah.
I'm just using Brother Dunny as this. Brother Dunny stops, and he's looking around. He's looking at the sergeant giving this order, and water began to run down his eyes. And he looks at the colonel. He said, Colonel, I can't drop this man. And the colonel said, you said what? He said, I can't drop this man. The colonel says, Private, tell me why you can't drop this man. He said, Colonel, this man is on my shoulders. It's my baby brother, Harry. I can't let him go. Hallelujah. That's what we got to do. We got to get down on our knees. We gotta keep praying. We don't drop nobody. Nobody in the church. Hallelujah. If they got a weak Christian in the church, somebody hold on until we make it to the other side. Oh, people's here. We give up too easy. We give up too easy. But don't drop nobody. Hallelujah. Don't let nobody, hallelujah, when I leave out of here, everything I'm gonna hold on to. Oh God, let us get that kind of revelation. As he sang that song. He knows my name again. I trust God this morning that you've got faith to speak. Hallelujah, people. We got to start telling. We got to encourage ourselves. Hallelujah, your body, you're going to be fighting your mind so bad that you're not even, sometimes you don't even feel like you're saved. Hallelujah, you don't even feel like you got the Holy Ghost, but you can't look at no thing. You got to do like Muhammad Ali said, I'm the greatest. You gotta keep telling your body that to keep your body up, to keep your body obeying the word. I am the greatest. Why? Because the Bible says, greatest he that's in me. Hallelujah, I'm not backing up. Muhammad Ali believed that. He really believed that he was the greatest. He didn't know what we believed today, but his intellectual faith took him to the point, I am. And if I'm the greatest, that means I'm not gonna bow down to defeat. Right. Hallelujah, don't bow down to defeat. How we do it? Well, I made a mistake. Brother Jewel, the devil put an evil thought in my mind, a lustful thought. I guess I ain't got the Holy Ghost. Well, I guess everybody here gonna have to have a problem there. I guess I don't got the Holy Ghost neither, because I can't stop a bird from flying on my head. But I can't stop it from making a nest there. Hallelujah, in other words, brother, and people, the point of it is, the devil wants you to accept it. He won't, when he put a thought in your mind, he's trying to get you to confess it. That's the way I am. You don't have to tell the devil, I'm not that way. That thought did not come from me. It came from you, Satan. You are. See, Muhammad Ali, the guy was so talented in what he skilled and what he was doing. He was able to convince the man he was fighting. He was the greatest. He was so positive in who he was. He was able to convince the man who he was fighting. He was the greatest. And people don't understand this. Come here, brother. Good Lord, you're a big man. Muhammad Ali always leaned and rested on his opponent. And you be saying, come on, Ali, fight. Fight, Ali. And here you see, he just lunged. And you be thinking, why does he keep holding this man? Why he keep resting on this man? Reason he do, he lays on that nerve on his shoulder because he know the jaw forming biggest punches in that hand over there. So he gonna have to weaken his hand out. I'm gonna have to weaken that arm out. So by the time he get to the eighth round, he predict the fight. He's not gonna knock him out in the eighth round because he done wore his arm out by that time. He just keep all up. And then about the eighth round, he realized that punch has been weakened out. Then Muhammad Ali go to work on it. People, we gotta lay on the, we gotta lay on the shoulder and we gotta keep weakening that devil up because we all got a punch coming. But you proud enough when the devil get to that punch. You can make it. You done got him so weak. He ain't hit you with a full bar. When that punch comes, weaken him down, people. Weaken him down. Lay in prayer. Lay on his shoulder. Hallelujah. Weaken that punch down. Hallelujah. As the brother says here, faith can move and move the people. And anything can take place. Brother Ben's situation is not too much for God. Amen. People don't want to tell you this. We look at situations, sometimes we put circumstances powerful. Oh boy, this is so powerful. How can God make this trial a blessing? Show me how God could not make it a blessing. Hell, when I seen a little 12-year-old boy took a shotgun, stuck into his stomach, pull the trigger and blow his whole stomach to pieces. The doctor says to him, he will never have a bowel movement. He'll never do this. The boy living today, done raised kids, got a bowel movement. Don't tell me that God is not a creator. But the point of it is, we got to quit looking at it in a natural way. We got to say, Lord, let me see God move. Let me get myself out of the way so I can see the Holy Ghost. God is here to take charge of every spirit. We serve a God that can take charge of every spirit. We did it with a girl a couple months ago that was fighting a nervous depression. Jerry Brown and the daughter-in-law had a miscarriage. And the devil was on her shoulder. You ain't going to never have a baby. You and Brother Jerry says, Brother Jewel, he said, this lady, my daughter-in-law, is at the edge of a breakdown. Because the devil was telling her, because she had a miscarriage, you ain't going to never have a baby. And she had so much fear, she said, I'm not going to do it no more. I'm not going to try no more. So she was refusing to have another baby. Hallelujah. But Jerry brought this young lady up in the prayer line. Now, I didn't know this. I just got the testimony. I'm just telling him. He said, Brother Jerry, why you tell testimony? Because we need to brag on God. Why we tell what Facebook says? Hallelujah. I ain't come to tell you about Facebook. I'm going to tell you about a real God now. Hallelujah. Let me finish this up. So we stood, that girl stood in there. I said, well, we just rebuke the spirit. Trust God to lift the spirit off of it. In the name of Jesus Christ, we just turn around and rebuke the spirit. Ain't God come down with a light? I ain't had a vision. I'm just taking God on his word. He said, lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. These signs shall follow them that believe. All you, every one of you got that kind of faith to believe it. Hallelujah. I'm just believing the demon's going to leave. Hallelujah. The devil. I didn't know this, but the demon left right then. And the girl was walking off. And I said, hey, young lady, look at me. I said, the next time I meet you, you'll have that baby in your hand. I just went and dedicated the baby last weekend. Don't tell me God is not the same. The same power. The power lays in you. The biggest fear it is today. Why should I try? I'm not going to do it. People is bound by all kinds of spirits. And you, like Brother Carlos said last night, he said, it's not nothing wrong with a temple. What's wrong with it? You refuse to get rid of it. And a lot of more problems than that. Hey, romance and all these other spirits fighting in this area. All the fill on Facebook and everything. And all the spirit that we got hold of. And our minds are becoming more polluted and polluted and polluted. Hey, you said, brother, but I'm trying to quit. You cannot do it on your own self. That's why God sent the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I could not quit drugs. I could not quit living an immoral lifestyle. But when I met that Holy Ghost, he's able. I tell you right now, every spirit knows God is real. Hallelujah. As he sang that song this morning, he knows my name. I'm getting ready. I'm parachuting now. He knows my name. I'm not going to tell you to come, but you know who you are. I'm going to sing the song, and I'm turning back to Brother Dunny this morning. But by God's grace, you will never defeat these spirits by your own might. I never defeated a spirit by my own might. Every time I overcome a spirit, that's when I surrendered it all to God. That when I gave it all up to God, and God came down and he done away with it. But as long as I love that spirit, it never went nowhere. And a demon ain't going to leave. As long as you worship that spirit, it's going to stay right there. But I take authority over every demon under the blood of Jesus Christ, because he said we could. As he sang that song this morning. Hallelujah. As he sang that song this morning, he knows my name. I just don't want everybody. You know, some people come back and forward all the time. And they get up every time in the prayer line and they come back. When you say you got the Holy Ghost, it ain't no use to come back a second time. You better believe it right then. Hallelujah. You know, God, in other words, it ain't no use of you coming. And you say, how do I know I got it? Because I'm going to keep my confession. I'm going to keep saying, testifying. I'm going to keep giving God praise. I got the Holy Ghost until my body becomes subject to my confession. Brother Brandon says, speak your perfect body. You want a perfect body this morning? Look at that perfect body. As you look at that perfect body, he said, walk toward it. How are you going to walk toward it? By your confession this morning. He knows my name.
He knows.
to take a step toward my theophany. One day I'm gonna take that final step into my theophany. Don't you know one day that final step, it's going to set me free. My theophany. Children, should death knock on your door? Don't you know that old death is a doorway that leads to the heavenly shore?
that we're going to go, we're going to send this love to Brother Junior Davis. Hallelujah. He said, Brother Junior, he done been praying for, but the power of God said he took cloth. And they laid on the bodies. And those demon spirits recognized the authority, not the cloth, but the authority of the Holy Spirit. There's somebody crazy enough. Somebody don't care. I just believe what God says. Hallelujah. We're going to agree with this. Brother Horn going to come and pray with us. I'm not going to have all the preachers come up today, but Brother Donnie going to lay his hand. Hallelujah. Hold on for a minute. Hold on, sister. We're going to pray for you. Hallelujah. Come on up here, Brother Horn. Did Brother Junior Davis got any family in church this morning? Lord, this cloth. It's just an ordinary cloth, Father. Father, it's not nothing in my power. I have nothing to lose. Lord, I have nothing to gain from it. Father, but I know that you put your word, and your word say they took cloths off the body of the Paul and laid it on the sick, and they were delivered. If that same God, it's your word, God. It's your word, not mine. It's your word. That demon left, Lord. Do it again one more time. Let the people know. Let the old fellow testify that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord. Father, we ask you in Jesus Christ's name. Hallelujah. Oh, hold on. We probably cut it.
It is well with my soul. It is well. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. We've got a little brother that's going to be baptized today. They'll come prepare for that. Let's sing this together again as we just worship the Lord. I mean, enjoyed the word. Enjoy being in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To God. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Aren't you glad we serve a living God today? Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord.
Let's pray. Father, what a day. Been through so many emotions the past few days, and as Micah has been talking about this, talking to his mom and I, asking us about it, just been waiting, just been watching. I couldn't help but to think of the type of a father, and how a father will watch a little son, a little child, to see what it's going to do. There'll be times that they'll have to give a strong command to do certain things, and they'll have to do it immediately. But then there'll be times, Lord, that dad will have to stand back and see what that child is going to do, and then gently lead them in a proper direction. And Lord, I haven't, and his mom hasn't, Lord, prodded him this way. You've just begun to move upon his heart, and I've watched his little life change in certain ways. And when he's corrected, Lord, how his little attitude has changed, and how he's more obedient. And I was just telling him there just a moment ago, what he's doing is just a wonderful thing. And not only is he doing it for himself, but he's setting an example for his little brothers as well. He stands in a great position and place, Lord, in the family, Lord, to lead his little brothers and to help them along the way as well. And Lord, as my dad, he never stood in a position like this. And Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity, Lord, that I have to take my son, my eldest son, my second love gift that you gave to me, Lord, and to take him to this place. We call it a watery grave. And now I'm asking that your presence would be here over this water in this place, Lord, to meet not just my son, but my little brother in Christ. Lord, that you would give him that promise that you said that you would give him. Because, Lord, there will be so many opportunities that I'll have to lead him, to show him. But Lord, there'll come times that I won't be able to take him but so far. And then you'll have to lead him. Lord, we've prayed over his little life since he first broke the womb. We committed him to you. We gave him to you, Father. And now I'm just asking that you would make him even more sensitive to your leading, to your spirit, to your anointing, O God. And may you just be in our home even more. We love you, Father God. We honor you, Papa. What else can we do but put our trust in you? This old world, Lord, there's nothing left to it. So, Lord, I bring my son, Lord, and I place him in this grave. Oh, God, I give him to you. I surrender him to you, Lord, once again. Now, may you lead him. Take this little life, Lord. Use him, Lord, to further your kingdom. Lord, not that he will sing like mom and dad, not that he would preach the gospel, but Lord, that he would submit to his spirit. And if he sings, let him sing with all that's within him. If he preaches this word, Lord, let him preach it with all that's within him, oh God. Lord, if he's just an old factory worker somewhere, Lord, let him be that, Lord, with all that he can be. As time goes on, Lord, may he learn to know more of you, even more than me. I love you, Papa, and thank you for this opportunity. Amen. Micah, my son, my little brother in Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Been a wonderful day.
Amen.
Let's sing this together as we go. I received a text today from Brother Tim Pruitt. He's going to be coming up, Lord willing, tomorrow, probably actually tomorrow night, to see Brother Junior Davis and his family. He'll be staying through probably Friday, looks like. So I've asked him if he'd take the service for us on Wednesday night. So we're just kind of looking forward to that, expecting the Lord to grace us again. He's just so good to us, ain't he? He just gives us so many blessings. So appreciate it. Sing this together as we go. May God be with you and keep you. Oh, come, let us adore.